Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Zayin, and we're holding the bottom of Samach Vav Amid Beis, a brand new Mishnah. We're talking about the Ish Iti, who is taking out the Sora HaMishtaleach to the Tzuk from Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah begins, Miyakira Yerushalayim Hoyumulavin Oisai. Who are the Akir Yerushalayim, says Rashi, the Chashuva Yerushalayim. The Choshuva Yidin of Yerushalayim would go and escort part of the way the Ish Iti. They didn't go the entire way. They only went part of the way. How far did they go? They went at Sukkah HaRishoyna, until the first Sukkah. What means Sukkah? So Rashi explains that they made a number of temporary stations, which they called Sukkos, similar to the Sukkah that we use on Chag HaSukkos, huts of a sort. And at each station, there would be a changing of the guard in terms of those people that would escort the Ish Iti to the tzuk. How many sukkahs were there altogether? As we'll see in Yetshem and the Gemara, there's a three-way machlokes. But our Tana says that there were eser sukkahs, 10 of them, Yerushalayim v'ad tzuk. From Yerushalayim, in other words, when you leave the outskirts of Yerushalayim, till you get to the cliff from which the Sora HaMishtaleach was pushed off, there were 10 sukkahs altogether. Now, how far was that distance from Yerushalayim to the Tzuk? That was Tishim Ris, 90 Ris altogether, which is Shiva Umechza L'chol Mil, 7.5 Ris per mil. So Ris obviously is a distance. And what is that distance? 7.5 Risim add up to 1 mil. So how many mil were there altogether from Yerushalayim until Tzuk? If we take 90 Ris and we divide it by 7.5, we're going to get to roughly 12, because 7 times 12 is 84, and then a half of 12 is 6, 84 and 6 add up to 90. So since it's 90 ris, we're talking about 12 mil altogether from Yerushalayim until the Tzuk. And as we'll see in Yetz Hashem, in the Gemara, according to this Mandiyama, which will turn out to be Reb Meir, from Yerushalayim till the first Tzuk was 1 mil, from the first sukkah, not to the first sukkah, to the first sukkah was 1 mil. From sukkah 1 to sukkah 2 was another mil. From 2 to 3 was another mil. Meaning that from Yerushalayim until the 10th sukkah was 10 mil altogether. And therefore everybody was able to go and walk from one sukkah to the next, or from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah, because only 1 mil. And 1 mil you're allowed to walk on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur without any problem of tchumen. But you couldn't go 2 mil. So therefore, the final 2 mil, the only one that was able to go, of course, was the Ish Iti, because that was his job, he was memuna to do on Yom Kippur. But for everybody else, we had an issue of tchumen. So therefore, each one was able to go and walk 1 mil to go and escort him. However, the final distance from the last sukkah until the tzuk was 2 mil. That's how we got to 12 altogether. From Yerushalayim till the 10th sukkah were 10 mil. From the final sukkah till the tzuk was 2. 10 plus 2 gives you 12. And so therefore the people that were accompanying the Ish Iti from the final sukkah were only able to walk 1 out of the 2 milim. And as we'll see in Mir Tashem in another 2 lines in the Mishnah, so halfway between the final sukkah and between the tzuk, they would have to take leave of the Ish Iti. He continued walking until the end, and they stayed until that first mil. So the Mishnah continues. Al kol sukkah v'sukkah oimrim lo. When he got to each sukkah, they said to him, to the Ish Iti, Hari mozein v'hari mayim, in case you are famished, in case you are thirsty, and you cannot continue this trip with the Eiz, the Sor La'azazel, till the very end. Baruch Hashem, we have food for you, we have water for you. As we'll see Miyachim in the Gemara, it was never necessary for the Ish Iti to ever eat or drink, and the purpose of all of this was, it's what we call to have pas besalei. So he shouldn't be nervous, he shouldn't be concerned, oy vey, what's going to be? Will I be able to withstand the rigors of this trip, as well as fasting the whole day? So we told him, don't worry, in case you have a problem, we have food and drink, but ultimately it was not necessary for him to partake thereof. And the Chashuve Yerushalayim would accompany him, not the same people. Each time we came to another sukkah, the people that previously had escorted the Ish-Iti, they parted and they said Hatzlacha, and they went home. And the people from the new sukkah went on to the next sukkah, and so on and so forth. Chutz me'achrin shemhen, except for the final sukkah, as we spoke out before, she'enem agiya imoy letzuk, the people that were accompanying him from that final sukkah didn't go all the way to the tzuk, because it was still 2 mil. Ella oimen me'rochei, they got stuck, so to speak, after 1 mil, and they stood there. V'royes ma'asev, and they would try to see as best as they could from there till the tzuk to see what the ish-iti was doing. So although they couldn't escort him physically, at least they escorted him with their eyes and ears to see what's going on. Mahoyo oisa, to see what he was doing. So the ma'isa utaka, what was he doing? Mahoyo oisa. Chodik loshen shel zahoyris, chetzioi kosher b'selav, chetzioi kosher bein shnei karnav. We've had this already in the Gemara before, that there are three lishoinois shel zahoyris, and each one of them was a different weight. One of them we had was for the paraduma, which had to be very weighty, because it says v'hishlich el toich sreifa sapara. It had to have weight so that it would fall down into the center of the fire and not be burned up to a crisp while it's still at the top part of the fire. So that was one Lashon Shel Zahiris. We had the Lashon Shel Zahiris over here, which we're talking about now, where we had to split it, so that Ulza had to have a certain degree of weight, because it's not just one, now it's two Lashonis Shel Zahiris, because he had to split it into two. And then there was the third Lashon Shel Zahiris that we had as well, the Gabi de Taras Metzoira. Then the Metzoira takes it with the Eitz Erez, the Ezoid, and with the Tzipor HaChaya, dips it into the Dama Tzipor HaShchuta, and then Shpritzes. That was the smallest or the least weighty of the Lashon Shel Zahiris. You'll recall we had that not too long ago in the Gemara. But anyway, getting back to our Lashon Shel Zahiris, the Kohen Gadol was not the Kohen Gadol. The Ish-Iti would go and split it up. The, I'm sorry?
They also had a thread on the Seir Lashon.
They had the Lashon Shel Zahiris, that's correct. Yes. But from the Gemara, it's mashma that it's unanimous, but among the Meforshim, they say that it's in fact a machlokes. But yes, thank you for pointing that out. The Gemara, when it talks about the three Lashonis, doesn't refer to that first one. Tosfos Taka asks, we should say that the four Lashonis, why does it only say three Lashonis?
It's a different Lashon.
Very good. Getting back to our Mishnah. So, Mayo Isa, what would he do? Choylik Lashon Shel Zahiris, he would go and split it up. Chetzi Kosher B'Selah, half of the Lashon Shel Zahiris, which was previously tied to the Karnayim, to the head of this Sor HaMishtalech, half of it he would remove, and he would attach it to and tie it around a sela, around a boulder, around a rock that was there. V'chetzir kosher bein shnei karnav, and the other half he would go and tie between the two Karnayim, between the two horns, and v'docha v'chayrav, and then the Ish-Iti would go and push the Sor down, pushing it backwards. V'hu miskalgu v'yoyred, and the Sor would roll down, and he didn't even get down to half of the height of the cliff, going all the way down to the valley, until it became already just bones and bones and limbs and limbs. We'll see more about that in the Gemara.
This was Yom Kippur, right?
This is all in Yom Kippur. So only in Yom Kippur.
The Lashon Zahiris was tied to the sire?
It was tied to the Karnayim of the sire. That was half of it. The other half was tied to the boulder or the cellar that was there.
It was tied there from Erev Yontif?
Not from Erev Yontif. Why Erev Yontif?
I'm just trying to animate it in my mind here. He's walking with the animal. The ribbon is tied to his horns.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's taking off one of the ribbons and tying it to the cellar.
He's taking it, he's splitting it in half. Leaving half
He's actually splitting it now, okay.
Well, let's look at the Lashon Mishnah. My Yoisa, Choylik. So he split it in half.
Okay.
And half of it he tied to Chetzi, to the Sela, and Chetzi left on the Shnei Karnayim.
Okay, thank you.
The Lashon Zahirus was attached to the horns after the Hagrola. And one of the major purposes of attaching that was to be able to identify which Sor is which. Because after the Hagrola took place, the Kohen Gadol left the two there temporarily, and then went to the par as well and took care of the shchit of the par and then the spritzing of the par, and only subsequently did he come back and then take the Sor Lashem and go and shecht it. By that time easily the two could have danced around a few times and nobody would know which was the Sorel Hashem or which is the Sorel Azazel. So therefore they had that tie Ben Akanai.
Especially they were equal in appearance in Mare.
Exactly
and
correct.
Koma.
Exactly right.
But according to the Shita, they did put a Lashon Zazoris on this other.
On the second one.
So how did you identify them?
Very well, you're asking a beautiful question. So the Gemara said before that according to that Man D'Yomar, they tied it around its neck as opposed to around the Karnai. And the reason why it was not unanimous, because the Gemara declared what's the reason why you have to go and tie that second Lashon Shel Zahiris to the second Sawyer. The Chayr should just be enough to identify one vis-a-vis the other. So the Gemara Taka said, Einachanami, for the two together, you only needed one to have a Lashon Shel Zahiris. But what happens if other behemoths were to pass by? For instance, as you know, there's a third sorer that you have to bring. That's a sorer Nasa Bechutz for the Karban Musaf. As well as, there may be other behemoths. Maybe the two of them will make a plata through the Shar Niknor and go out. So to identify it vis-a-vis other animals, they put on the Lashon Shel Zahiris, but not on the horns, but around the neck.
And there was one of those stuff in the Beit Midrash that then turned white.
Wait. Brother Shai, don't take away my thunder here. We got plenty to discuss. Mirat Hashem, we'll talk about the.
Was the one left in the Beit Midrash?
You'll see everything in Mitchum shortly. Hopefully, all your questions are going to be addressed shortly. But getting back to our Mishnah. So, unfortunately for the Sor Mishalech, fortunately for Klal Yisrael, the Sor Lazozel went over the cliff. It went into Evarim Evarim, and then Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem had their atonement, had their kapara. Now, what did the Ish Iti do? He didn't just stand there on the cliff for the rest of Yom Tov, but Yoshev Loitacha Sukkah Achrayna, he went back to the 10th Sukkah, and he stayed the rest of Yom Tov there, Ajitechshech, until nightfall, and then he was able to break his fast with everybody else in Klal Yisrael. Now, it says in the Pasuk that the one who's the Ish Iti, who took the Sor HaMishtaleach, he becomes Tamei as a result of that Avoida, as well as his Begodim. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Umei Eimasayt Metamei Begodim. At what point does Begodim become Tamei? In other words, is it from the first moment when he is still in the Azara, when the Kohen Gadol hands over the Sor HaMishtaleach to him? Is it when he leaves the Azara, or is it any other point? So in fact, it's a machloikis in our Mishnah, and we'll see Metshem is also machloikis in the Gemara. So our Mishnah says, "Me'imasay metame begodim." When does he become tame to metame even begodav? Mishiyata chutz lechoymis Yerushalayim. When he leaves the Chaimis Yerushalayim, from the Beis Hamikdash to the Chaimis Yerushalayim was some distance. We're talking about from the Har Abayis, and we know even today from the Har Abayis until you leave the Ir Atika, there is some distance. So during that entire period, he was not Tamei yet. When he left the Chaimis Yerushalayim, then he became Tamei, as well as his Begodim, and then eventually he had to go to the Mikveh, as well as Vachivis Begodim, put the Begodim also in the Mikveh. That's the first time. Reb Shimon Oymer, no. Until he got all the way till the end, he was still Tohar. It's Mishas Tchiyos Letuk, only at the point when he pushed the Sardu Pamishtaleach over, that's the point that it becomes Tamei. So now you're wondering to yourself, it doesn't really make much of a difference, because after all, he's not going to go to the mikveh now until the whole procedure is over. That's true. But we also learned before that the actual Dechia is not Ma'akev. So, at least in theory, when the Koyin, or the Ish'iti, when he saw that the white, that the Lashon Shel Zahiris, which was attached to the Sela, turned white, he could have said at that time, okay, we're done, we're finished. And he doesn't push it over. So according to the Tanakhama, he would be Tamei anyway, because he went out Chutz L'Chaimis Yerushalayim. According to Reb Shimon, he would not be Tamei unless he actually did the pushing. So if at the final moment the Sor HaMishtaleach ran away at Gemach Da'at later, especially if he saw that his fate is imminent, is right. He's almost going to be there at the end of the cliff, wondering what's going on. It's a real cliffhanger, if you will, for this Sawyer. And this Sawyer may decide, enough of this, and he runs away. So according to Reb Shimon, he would not be Tamei because he didn't. He wasn't actually Doche him, Letzuk. He didn't actually push it.
Can the animal, and he was a thrill seeker, and he jumped off himself,
and
the animal that did it on its own, it's also fine. Your yotze. The Indian of the tria is not market.
Okay, thank you.
Zokti Mar, Rabban, Esther Sukkos. Now, in our Mishnah, we had the view of Rameir, which is the view of the first of three Tanoim in this Brisa. And what was his view? That there were Esther Sukkos, that says Rafeish in the Mishnah, there were 10 Sukkos, Mishalayim, the Atzuk, and Ushneim Osam Milan Hoyu. Mishnah doesn't say expressly there were 12 milen, but simple arithmetic tells us that there were 12 milen, because we said that there were tishim ris, and that there are 7.5 ris per mil, so therefore that must mean that there are 12 milen, because 12 times 7.5 gets you to 90. That's what Rameir holds. Rabbi Huda Oimer, Teisha Sukkos va'asara milen. There were only 9 sukkos altogether, and there were 10 milen. Meaning that from Yerushalayim until the final sukkah, there were 9 milen altogether, right? From Yerushalayim to sukkah number 1 is 1, till sukkah number 2 is 2, and so on and so forth until 9. And then from the final sukkah until the tzuk, there was only 1 mil left. Not like Rameh that there were 2. There was only 1 mil according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yoisi Oimer, Chomesh sukkos va'asara milen hayu. There were only 5 sukkahs altogether. Didn't you tell me that we have to go at least 10 mil? According to Rameh, 12 mil. How did you get to 10 mil? After all, we want people to go and escort this ish'iti. Says Rabbi Yossi, v'kulin al yedei erev. It's only Rabbi Yossi that says v'kulin al yedei erev. This is not Rameh or Rabbi Yehuda. That all of the 10 mil were walked by the various Yakir Yushalayim by using an erev. So what's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is that you have the people who live near the Beis Hamikdash, or I should say near the outskirts of Yerushalayim, they would go and normally be able to walk only 1 mil. However, if they made an Erev, they were able to walk 2 milen. So they were able to walk 2 mil, escorting the Ish'iti to the first sukkah. And then the same thing is the people who were staying in there in the first sukkah. If they would not make an Erev, they would only be able to walk 1 mil. But by making an Erev, they were able to walk 2 milen. So they were able to get to the second sukkah. And so on and so forth. So even though there were 2 milen each time, as a result of using an Erev, they were able to escort from sukkah to sukkah to sukkah. As well as the final sukkah, they were able to go from there to the tzuk. And assuming that there was also 2 milen, also no problem. Why no problem? Because again, they can go and escort until the very cliff. Al Yedei Erev. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the man the Yomah that just said now that you can use an Erev and you can have multiple Eruvim. So Rabbi Yossi said, Sochli Elozer B'ni. When Elozer was hearing this discussion, he said to me, you know what, Tati? Abba? Im Al Yedei Erev, once you're talking about using an Erev, you're chalani lases afilish tei sukkos vasara milen. You could even work out a situation where the entire trip was 10 milen and only have the benefit of 2 sukkos. Now, how could you go and use only 2 sukkos? So Rashi makes a cheshbon, but it's very, very simple. That if you're leaving now Yerushalayim, you're going towards the first sukkah, the people that are leaving Yerushalayim in the direction of the first sukkah, they can walk a maximum of 2 milen, like we said, normally only 1, with the benefit of an Erev, they would have 2. They would stop at the 2 mil midpoint between Yerushalayim and the first sukkah, and then the people from the first sukkah would walk towards them to greet them. They, in turn, could only normally walk 1 mil, but they put up an Erev, so they were able to walk 2 milen. So now they met them at that midpoint, and they would say to all their friends that were coming from Yerushalayim, it's so nice of you that you went and you escorted the Ish'iti, you can go home now, and now we will go and escort the next 2 mil to that first sukkah. So therefore, from Yerushalayim to sukkah number 1, you've covered 4 mil. Now when you're going from sukkah 1 to sukkah 2, it's exact same cheshbon, not the same people that escorted from that first sukkah towards Yerushalayim. Those people cannot go even 1 inch in the other direction, as we learned in Masechtas Erevin. But other people that were staying in that sukkah, they also made an Erev, but in the other direction, towards the second sukkah. And therefore they were able to walk 2 milen. So we've already covered 6 altogether. When they got to the midpoint between the first sukkah and the second sukkah, guess what happened? They met their friends from sukkah number 2, who had walked in their direction 2 milen based on their Erev. So now we go another two milen to sukkah number two, and now we've already covered eight. The four from Yerushalayim to sukkah one, and the four from sukkah one to sukkah two. And now other people who are staying at sukkah two, they can go now in the direction towards the sukkah. Make an eruv, so they have two more, so they can go until the cliff. The entire 10 milim escorting. So therefore, based on using Erevin, says our Gemara very, very nicely, said Reb Lozer to his father, Reb Yossi, Tati, we can effect the situation of 10 milim with just two sukkahs. Says Yimar,
Kiman. Question?
Yes.
Question?
Yes, even two questions.
A question?
Yes, two questions.
So, I don't understand the Shita of Reb Meir. If there are 12 milin and the Sukkot are one meal apart from each other, then there have to be 11 Sukkot.
Okay, so let's work this out. The between one Sukkah and another Sukkah, as you pointed out, there was one meal. From Yerushalayim to the first Sukkah, there was also one meal. However, from the final Sukkah until the Tzuk, there were two milin. 2 milin altogether.
Where is that stated?
Where that's stated is in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah didn't say so expressly, but it says it on the third line, Umalavan Osom Nisukkah Lisukkah, Chutz Mei Achren Shebehen, when we're talking about from the final Sukkah to the Tzuk, they were not able to Malavim until the very end. They were not able to walk that entire distance, because without the benefit of an Erev, you can only walk 1 mil and not 2 mil. So therefore they had to go and...
You interpret Shein on Malavim is that they can't, as opposed to don't.
That is correct.
Okay.
And Mendy points out that the source of this interpretation is in fact the Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? It's a very, not the Mishnah, it's the Rashi on the Mishnah. You can go, there's a fairly lengthy Rashi which starts off Shiful Mechzeris, the Chomil, but you don't have to go to that Rashi. If you go to the Rashi in the middle of the Amid, that's the one you were showing me, Mendy, mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the Amid, do you have that? She'ena Magia Imoy Latzuk, do you have that? Rashi in the middle of the Amid, it's a short Rashi, Enemia Magia Imoy Latzuk, Kemoshi Parashti, Lafishu Rochoik, Beis Milan, because from that final Sukkah until the Tzuk, there were two more milin. Okay? Now that's the short form of Rashi. If you'd like to go and do the longer Rashi, we start on the second line from the top. Shivu mechzer ris lechol mil. Says Rashi, how do the tishim ris yud beis mil, the 12 altogether. Vehim yud aleph masois v'yishalayim lesukkah. Vehim yud aleph masois. There are 11 trips, if you will, 11 stations. V'yishalayim lesukkah rishoina masa echa. That was one of the... Like Rashi is using the term like we have in Parshas Matos Masi, that this was one of the Masois, from Yerushalayim to the first one, that was Masa Echot. Umi Sukkah L'Sukkah, Ad Yud Sukkois, were another 9 Masois. Hari Yud Masois altogether. And each one of them was 1 mil. Umi Sukkah Achroin L'Tzuk, Masa Echot, was also just 1 Masa. Hari L'Chol Masa U'Masa Mil, each one of the initial 10 masois from Yerushalayim till that final sukkah was 1 mil. Chutz mi'achren mehen. And I believe that this probably should say chutz mi'achren mehen, except for the final one, sheyesh boy beis milin, which was 2 milin. Ha'indriktoni, and that's why it says in the Mishnah, u'malavin u'isim isukkah v'sukkah, that they would be malav escorting from one sukkah to the other, shamil hu'tchum Shabbos. Each one was going one full Tchum Shabbos without the benefit of an Erev. Chutz mi achrayim shurachik beiz milin. There they were 2 mil. Umlaveo mil. They went with him, escorted him 1 mil. And then they stopped. V'oimim merachik v'royes masov. It's good. So David, we have the Rebbe Feish Rashi. Good. So getting back to, as just a somewhat of a historical and poetic footnote for those of you that are interested, the next part of the Rashi goes into a nice cheshbon, which we'll leave for homework, and that is that in the Payet, or the Yoitzris that we say in Parshas Shkolim, the final one is quite a lengthy one, and is a very beautiful one, because it goes through all the measures that you find throughout the Torah and throughout Shas. Measures in terms of volume, in terms of weight, in terms of distance, It's fascinating, and it is cited from time to time by the Rishonim and the Achronim to go and prove various shiurim that you have in the Torah. So Rashi makes reference to that cheshvin of Reb Lozer HaKalir. Reb Lozer HaKalir was famous for being the author of many of, if not most of, the piyutim, most of the yotzris, and in his particular yotzer for Parshas Shkolim, there the cheshbon is somewhat different. And Rashi says, therefore, by cheshbon hazeh that we just went through, about how many risim we have per mil, ainish shavah lecheshbon sheyaser blozer hakalir, where is that payet that we're talking about? So there's a small zayin, Meser Sashas, look it up in Parshas Shkolim, besiluk hamaschel oy ozri isa. And you have there on the top of the Meser Sashas, and oy zayin. So that's the payet in Parshas Shkolim. Anyway, you look through the rest of the Rashi. For those of you that have difficulty figuring it out, you look at the art scroll, it's a very, very simple question. But getting back to our Gemara, that responds to David's question, that in fact the final sukkah till the tzuk was 2 milen, and since, according to the mayor, there was no Erev, it's only Rabbi Yossi that employed the use of the Erev, therefore they couldn't go the entire 2 milen. And in fact, that's what the Gemara tells us right now, Kiman Azla. We are now about halfway down the Omid, 6-7 lines after the Mishnah. Kiman Azlaha. Now the Gemara quotes Hodesanya, what it says in the Braisa. Perhaps it should say Hodetnan, because we're really quoting what we learned in the Mishnah, in fact, which we just repeated a moment ago to respond to David's question. Kiman Azlaha Hodetnanyad. According to which man the Omar is it that we learned in the Braisa? Chutz mi achron shebehem, except for the final one. Shlohigia. That the escorters didn't go all the way till the end. Rather, they stood there in the middle, and they saw from afar what the Ish Iti was doing with the Loshen Shul Zahiris and with the Sur HaMishtaleach. Who does this go in accordance with? Kiman Kireb Meir. Why does it go according to the mayor? Because according to the mayor, you had to walk 2 more milen, because there were 12 milen altogether, and they were not able to walk the final 2 milen, they were only able to walk 1 mil, so therefore they had to be standing Mei Rochai. Why doesn't this go according to the other 2 Mandiyamim? Because according to Behuda, there were 9 sukkahs and 10 milen altogether, which means that from the final sukkah until the tzuk, there was only 1 mil. So they were able to walk that entire mil. They didn't have to stand from afar. As well as Rabbi Yossi, the holds that there were Chomish Sukkos, Vasara Milan, and they did employ the use of the Erev. So the final two, there was no issue. They could walk all the way till the end because they employed the Erev. So it was only Reb Meir that had that problem, and that's why according to Reb Meir, they had to step, they had to wait at the 11th mil, and from there the Ish Iti went on his own until the tzuk. Okay, Zokti Morabaita. We said in the Mishnah called Sukkah V'Sukkah Oimrim Loi, we tell the Ish Iti good news, Ari Mozmar Mayim, in case you're hungry, we have sandwiches, we have water, you can make Kiddush, you can eat something. Tanit says, Nebrais Mei Oilum Lei Hutzrach Odom Lekach, the Ish Iti never needed it. Elish Ein Adoim Lemishi Ish Lepas Besale, Lemishi Ein Lepas Besale. It's always emotionally very, very satisfying to know that just in case there is food and water to go and eat and drink, but Baruch Hashem, he never needed it. What did the Ish Iti do? So Chodik Lashon Shul Zahiris, he took Lashon Zahiris off of the horns, he split it in half, and says Imar Benikdre Kula Misal. We said that half of it he went and tied to the boulder, and half of it he left on the Kanai. In Frank Imara Benikdre Kula Misal. Why didn't he take off the whole thing and tie the entire thing to the cellar? Says Imara Kim the Mitzvah Besoyer Dilma Kodim Malbin Umeisva Daite. What the Imara is telling us is the following: that Baruch Hashem, in the early years, this Lashon Shel Zahiris would always go and turn to white to go and show from HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously that you've received atonement for your sins, like it says in the Pasuk, Em yu chata eichem kashonim kasheleg yalbino. Even if your sins are as crimson as the red Lashon Shel Zahiris that we're talking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and give atonement and they will be cleaned out until it will be pristine white, kasheleg yalbino, like white snow. Aha. So what happens if he were to take off the entire Lashon Shel Zahiris, attach it to the cellar, And the Kodesh Baruch Hu was so happy with the avodah of the Kohen Gadol and the tshuva of Klal Yisrael that the Kodesh Baruch Hu would immediately turn the Lashon Shel Zahiris to bright white, even before the Sarah Mishdaleach was pushed down the cliff. So then the Ish Iti would say to himself, I don't even need to go and complete pushing down the whole the Sur Lazazel, because the whole purpose of pushing it is for the atonement, for getting this cleansed from our sins. But we've already been cleansed. I can see it. All of us can see it. Even the guys from 1,000 Amas away, assuming they had with them telescopes, assuming that it wasn't Mukta, they would be able to go and see it, or with their binoculars. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's turned white. So it says the Gemara, Kivin the Mitzvah Besar. The mitzvah is, of course, taking the Sar Mishdalech and eventually pushing it off. Dilma Kodim Umalmin, if, however, he were to take the entire Lashon Shel Zahiris and it would turn white, he would say, Umeis Vadaiti, he would say, Baruch Hashem, oh, Kodesh Baruch Hu has already given us the atonement even before I push it off. You know what? I don't need to push it off anymore. And after all, I, the Ish Iti, I have Rachmanis on this Palchai. Why should I go and push it off? It's going to be Evarim, Evarim. So we didn't want that to happen because it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is that the Ish Iti has to go and push it off. And since there is such a mitzvah, then we don't want him not to accomplish the mitzvah. That's why we only attach half of it to the soil and half of it to the Kanai. Faithful, 1 second. If you're concerned about premature atonement, that he's not going to go and push the soil off, you know what? But if the Kulei Ben Karnav, just leave the entire Lashon Zahiris on the Kanaim, why are we bothering putting it on the Sela where we have this potential problem that maybe it'll be prematurely white? Zotimara Zimnin the Gomish Leila Reishi Balab Adaite. What may happen is, as the Sawyer is going off the cliff, he realizes what's going on, so impulsively what he's going to do is try to bend his head into the rest of his body to protect his body, to insulate it, just in case the sword hits the ground and he doesn't want to get a concussion and worse. So he's going to try to protect his head by bending over. If he's going to bend over, then the Ish Iti won't be able to see whether or not Lashon Shel Zahiris turned white, and we won't know whether we had atonement. So therefore, you split it up half on the Sela, half on the Kanayim. If you can see it on the Kanayim, it's great. And if you can't see it on the horns, at least you'll see it on the boulder, that you'll see that, Baruch Hashem, that there is the teshuva has been accepted by the Rabbanu Shlomo. Now let's get back to what Brother Shai was talking about 10 minutes ago. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Barishoina at the outset, in the good old days in the beginning, they would go and tie the Lashon Shel Zahiris at the front of the Ulam. As you know, the Ulam is the Pesach before you go into the Heichal. So, by tying it to the Ulam in Bachutz, the people, as you know, the Pesach Ulam was very, 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 very tall. And therefore, everybody were able to see that Lashon Shel Zahiris hanging down. So even the people who were standing in the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Kehanim, etc. So, what happened if Hilbin, if it turned white, oh, you sameich, and everybody was besimcha. Loi Hilbin of Chas HaSholem, it didn't turn white, oh, you atzovim, they were sad, distressed, umespaishim, and they were ashamed, they were embarrassed. And because this apparently happened, hiskinu, sheyehu, sheyil, koishin al pesach ulam mibefnim, instead of it hanging from the outside, it hung from the inside, with the kavana that only the Kohen Gadol should be able to go and see it. However, all the Kahanim that were able to get anywhere close, and for Yisrael who had good eyesight, they would all crane their necks and try to peek and try to see into the Ulam from the outside. Ooh, and perhaps we can tell whether or not the red Lashon Shel Zahiris has turned white. And again, the same thing happened. Hilbin, if they did see it turned white, Hoyu Sameich, and they were very happy, and of course they would tell all the people, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's, everybody would have a great simcha. Lo Hilbin, if Chas Hashem, not to Yat Sam, then they were unfortunately very sad. And therefore, we don't want the people to be sad. So, Hiskinu Shiyu Koishan Oisoi, so therefore they were Masakin, let's not put up the Lashon Shel Zahiris in the Ulam, let's go and send it along with the Ish Iti on the horns of this soyer. So therefore, that's the reason why he would be mechalik and he would split it, take off half and tie it to the sela, half to the karnayim, and then we were able to tell, the ishiti would be able to tell at that point whether or not it turned white. It didn't turn white, and only he and those escorters, if anybody was able to escort, depending on whether you hold like Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yossi, so they would be able to tell. But the masses of Klal Yisrael would not be able to tell. And so therefore, they would not have the busha, and they would not have the atzvus, just in case they were not able to see it. They couldn't see it. It was 12 mil, or 10 mil away. So they didn't have that potential distress as they had in earlier years.
But it didn't matter. I mean, the kapara we said was the hagrola. The hagrola, the vidui on the Sarah Mishaleach, and the hagrola followed by the vidui, that was the whole kapara.
The final kapara was when it went over the tzuk. However, that was not ma'akiv. So if it didn't go over the tzuk, then you already have it, if you will, already at the earlier point. But in terms of timing, normally it was only subsequent, not at the moment of the vidui. Otherwise, right after the vidui, they should all be clapping and all be dancing. They want to wait until the real full atonement is resolved. Yeah. Omrim Nochem Bar Pop Mishum Reblozach Kapper. But he showed you Koishan Loshan Shazoidis al Pesachulim in Bifnim, like we had before. I don't know that he disagrees that they originally had him in Bachut. In other words, the Gemara doesn't really tell us whether that's the original Berishayna, because before we also said Berishayna, so maybe there were two stages in Berishayna. But at some point they used to do it on Pesach Ulam Mibafnim, Kim Shigia Sar the Midbar Hayim Malvin. When the Sar reached the Midbar, then it got white in the Ulam inside the base of Mikdash. The Yadu, and then they knew Shinas is Mitzvah. Say, oh, Baruch Hashem, the Sar has reached the Midbar. Good news. The mitzvah has been accomplished. Shnemar em yu chateichem kashanim kashel gilvino. That was the simon when it turned white, and everybody had a tremendous simcha. When was it always turning white? When was it not always turning white? As you'll recall, we had earlier on our Masechta that at the times of Shimon HaTzadik, it always turned white. But after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, amul yah and amul nishn, unfortunately. Yeah, do you remember, anybody remember that? I think we had it, I think it's the Lamites, if I'm not mistaken. If you go back to the Lamites Omrit Aleph, Lamites Omrit Aleph, that 12 lines from the bottom of the Omud. If you have the Brother Shai, Mesech Tashuma.
Yeah.
Okay, that 12 lines from the bottom of the Omud, Lamites. Tana Rabbanan, Arboim Shona Sheshimish Shimon HaTzadik HaYegoyrul Oyla B'yamin. Always when the Kohen Gadol put his hands into the Kalpi and he took out the Goyrel, every time for 40 years, Baruch Hashem, the Goyrel always came up in the oil of the Goyrel Hashem, and the Goyrel Azazel on the left. Because the Ilech after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, at every time, the Lashon Shel Zahoris was Malbin. Now, which Lashon Shel Zahoris? I'm sure Brother Shai is wondering, is it the one, the Ulam B'chutz, the Ulam B'fnim, and the Sar B'shtalech, which one? So Rashi addresses that back on Daf Lamed Tes. If you look at the Rashi, Lashon Shel Zahoris, look Rashi, about two-thirds down the Omud, Lashon Shel Zahoris, Tzemer Soruk U'moshuch K'min Lashon. What exactly was the Lashon Shel Zahoris? It's easy to say that it was like a ribbon, but it wasn't really a ribbon. It was tzemer, it was made out of wool, which was sorek, which was combed and brushed, umoshech, and therefore extended like a kimin lashon, like a long tongue, so to speak. Bitzavua adoim, and it was dyed red or crimson. The koishin uisei b'roish sorem mishtaleach. Oh, they put in the roish sorem mishtaleach. Voyemal b'meilav, and it would go and turn white. Busim and shemachol kibbutz yisrael shenemar. And that's our Gemara that we were just learning now. So we see during the time of Shimon HaTzadik, it always was Malbin Baruch Hashem. But after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, Amul Yo, Amul Nish. Sometimes it was Malbin, sometimes it was not Malbin. That doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu did not give them the Kapara. It just means that he didn't give them the clear-cut, miraculous Simen. Hopefully they had the Kapara every year by the fact of all the Tzvilis and the Tshuva and all the Avodas Yom Kippurim. But unfortunately, they didn't get the benefit of seeing that halbar.
So Shimon HaTzadik was already after the time when they changed the procedure.
Shimon HaTzadik, so it appears.
Yeah,
exactly.
Before that, they...
Because it was on the Ulmi B'chot, the Ulmi B'chot. Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, 100% correct. Back to our Gemara. Three lines from the bottom of the Omid. We said that the Sora HaMishtaleach, after it went down the cliff, it didn't even get halfway, and it fell to, it was already... It became Evar Mevar. Iboilu. Great Gemara. Oysen Evar Mahim Benanah. In other words, I'm a tourist, and I'm walking down the valley sometime during the year, and I come across the Evarim of the Sora HaMishtaleach. There's no sign that these are Evarim of the Sora HaMishtaleach. These are just Evarim lived. And by this time, all the flesh, of course, has disintegrated and dissipated, etc. Mm-hmm. All I'm left now is with the bones. Mm-hmm. Can I use those bones now to, for instance, as the handle to an axe, a handle to a knife? Are those bones mutter b'hanam? So, it's a machlaikas. Rabbi Shmuel, chadam mutar, chadam mesur. One said it's mutter, one said it's awesome. By the way, before we continue on...
No, it's a misfosan. How could you...
Okay, so we're going to get to that. But before we get to continue on, just a very brief note. We said in the three-way machlaikas after the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yossi, they did, they made an Erev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they did not make an Erev. Rabbi Yehuda didn't need an Erev because he only had 1 mil. They had 10 altogether. But according to Meir, there were two. Why didn't he, in fact, employ the use of an Erev? So the Gevuras Ari, which is a Shagas Arya, says the near aloy that the machloikis is, the same as the machloikis we had back in Masech, the Shabbos and Erevin. Are you allowed to make an Erev for any purpose on Shabbos to extend your Tchum? Or can you only do it Lidvar Mitzvah? Ah, Rabbi Yossi held that you can, that the accompaniment of the Yakir Yerushalayim, that was a mitzvah, to go again, to give him chizuk, maybe there should be more pomp and ceremony, more people coming along. Since the Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to make an Erev. They held that there is no mitzvah involved, and therefore, if you can only make an Erev with the Dvar Mitzvah, if there's no mitzvah, you can't make an Erev, and therefore you're stuck. That's why they had to stop at the 11 mil line, they couldn't continue on. But getting back to our Gemara now.
They didn't hold by the Erev.
They didn't hold by the Erev, yeah, exactly. Or they held by the Erev, but you can only use the Erev for certain purposes. And again, of course, we're not talking about Erev Chatzeris, we're talking about
Erev. The Erev was made of food, and this is Yom Kippur. He wasn't able to eat from this Erev? Because he was fasting.
You're making a nice point. How does one effect an Erev Tchumen? By putting away two Seudas, you're 100% correct. But you don't have to eat from those two Seudas. The two Seudas are only there to identify that this is your new residence for purposes of Shabbos or for Yom Kippur. You'll recall from Masechtas Erevin, we learned that as long as it was there at the time of the beginning of Shabbos, which means Ben Hashmashes, plus that Shabbos began, those two Seudas were there. Even if a minute later they were stolen by culprits or stolen by Chayas and Behemoth, you're able to walk now the entire Shabbos, because as long as at that given moment that was your residence, that remains your residence for the rest of Shabbos Yom Kippur. So you don't have to actually eat it, it just has to be there at least at the first moment. Since Ophimar, Iboilu, Uysan, Iborim, Mahin, Bano, Yilad, Habano, Rabbi Shmuel, Charam, Mutar, Charam, Asun, once it's Mutar, once it's Asur. Barry already asked a moment ago, what do you mean that they're Asur? Nas Mitzvasai, Nas Mitzvasai, then of course, Ein Le'alim, right? Everything with Nas Mitzvasai, there's no Dinamil. So please hold that question for a moment, we'll get back to it. So to Mandi Amutar, the one that holds it is Mutar, Nechsev, it says in the passage, Bamidbar. Now what does it say Bamidbar? We're going to see that there are three psukim altogether, but the first pasuk is number one of the Torah, Ara Shalom, and also Asar, Olav, Eskola, Benoisim, Eretz, Gezerah, Veshilach, Esasoyer, Bamidbar. It goes out into the Midbar. So what does that tell us? It says the top Rashi, this pasuk comes to tell us that the Evorim become Hefker Kamidbar, just like everything in the Midbar in the wilderness is Hefker. These Evorim are also Hefker, and that's why they are Mutter. Madiom Rasul and Dechsib, it says that you have to go and send them El Eretz Gezerah. And we know that the word Gezerah, as we usually use it, means a Gezerah Midrabanan. But here's this Rashi in the second line, Gezerah Loshin Choymer V'Isser. The word Gezerah means a decree that you got to be careful. That's why all the Gezerah Shabbat are called Gezerahs, because they are additional Yisurim that the Chachamim added to the Yisurim in the Torah. So since it's Aser, what's the Gezerah telling us? That these bones become Aser. What does he do with this Midbar? It could just simply have said, sent him out El Gezerah. Why does it have to say to the Midbar? So to Yomara, To tell us another drasha. It says in the Braisa, Hamidbara, Bamidbar. I have three psukim all employing the word midbar. We already had Bamidbar in number one. At the end of number two, it says Hamidbara. At the end of number three, again it says Hamidbara. So what do we need the three Bamidbars? Let's tell us the Rabbis, Noivigivoin, Shiloi, Ubei Seilam. That this whole procedure of the Sarim Mishtalech didn't only apply in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, but also it applied in the future times when the Mishkan was Noivigivoin, when it was in Shiloi and Bei Seilam. And that's why I have the three Lishainais. The Choyra, it would have been easier if you had four Lishainais, because it's Noivigivoin, Shiloi, and Bei Seilam. Once again, the Gvura Sari, that's a Shagas Arya, says that Noivigivoin is considered to be one, because at that time you had the Heter Habamais when the Mishkan was in Noivigivoin, so therefore that's considered to be one period of time in the Torah of the Heter Habamais, while the time of Shiloi and Bei Seilam was already Isra Habamais, so those are separate. So Noivigivoin is one, Shiloi is two, Bei Seilam is three, and those are the three Hamidbaras, Midbar, etc., in the Psukim.
Aren't they out of sequence? Shiloi was before it was destroyed, and then Noivigivoin became the place of
assuming Israel. That is correct, maybe the reason why we do it in this fashion, to tell you Noivigivoin is one, that's one entity of Heter Habamais, then Shiloi and Begivoin. Meidach and the other Mandiyama, Hai Gzeira my Ovidle. What does the Mandiyama that says that it's Mutzriba know? What does he do with the word Gzeira? Gzeira and Gzeira Ela Chatucha. The word Gzeira means to go and cut with a sharp knife. And therefore, when we're pushing the Sora Mishtaleach off, it's got to be a very sharp and steep cliff where it's Chatucha. Rashi says that there is no slanting or angle like you typically have when you're going up or down a mountain, that you have some of a slope. There's no slope over here, it's a cliff.
A sheer drop.
Exactly. Dover Acher, Eng Zeda Ela Dover HaMisgazer V'yoyer. The word Misgazer means to be cut into pieces. So unfortunately, for the Sarim Mishtaleach, as it goes down the cliff, it's never broken and torn into pieces. Dover Acher, Gzeda, Shema Teimer Masa Toyuhu. If anybody's going to go and say, come on, what's this? I mean, this is an animal. What does it have to do with hundreds of thousands and millions of Yidden and Klal Yisrael that are trying to get atonement by pushing the animal off? Come on, this sounds so strange. It doesn't sound very humane. Tal Maloim, that's why the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Gezartiv, Ve'enecho Rishus Lahar Behem. This is almost identical to the Rashi that we have at the beginning of this week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, and we'll see similarly in the Gemara the same concept once again, that when you have something which is a choik, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, how does Rashi begin in this week's Parsha? Parshas Chukas, Atayra, Lefisha, Sotin, V'umas, O'ila, Moivins, Yisrael, Leimar, Ma, Mitzvah, Zois, Uma, Tam, Yesh, Ba. Therefore the Pasuk calls it a choik. Whether you understand it, you don't understand it, this is not intended for human logic or human understanding. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Gzeira. That's another pshat, the word Gzeira. Whether you like it, whether you understand it, that's Talach. Probably, I favor the pshat of Kodesh Baruch Hu that holds its mutter. Why? Because if you're going to go and say that the Evorim down below are Asur, you have the potential for Takala. What is Takala? The person who passes by doesn't realize what's going on with these Evorim. He just assumes that it's an animal that died. After all, animals die all the time. And therefore, leaving back the Evorim because there was no burial plot for the animals. So a person is going to take those Evorim and use them for whatever, for a walking stick, for putting as the handle to an axe, etc., etc. And therefore, it's more mistava like the one the Yoma that says that, and in fact, that it's mutter. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara employs this svara elsewhere as well. For instance, the Gemara says, Legabe sending away the Tzipor HaChai by the Maisa of the Metzora, where when the Kohen has pronounced the Metzora, V'hinirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua, we have to go and take two Chayos, two Tziporim Chayos, one of them we shecht, and the other one we go and dip into the blood, we do a hazah, and then we send the v'shilach as a tzipor achai al panei hasadah. And the Gemara clears about that as well. What's the status? Is that tzipor mutter banov, asur banov? And the Gemara says it's more mistava that it's mutter banov, because otherwise it'll come out a kilkul, a takola. Nobody knows that tzipor that's flying around is the tzipor that was part of the Metzora ceremony. So therefore, in all likelihood, it is mutter. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here too. The Yom Metzora Shaleach L'Takol. The Gemara is a bit shver because we have an almost identical set of circumstances. by the Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa also has to be Va'orfu Shomis Egla Banochal, and the Gemara tells us that in fact it's Osir Bahanor. That's one of those exceptions to the rule, because Barry said before, typically Eilucham Mitzvah Shinas Mitzvah Soi, and then Me'alin Boy, but Egla Arufa in fact is a din of Me'ila, not really Me'ila because it's not a carbon, but there's an Isra Hanor that attached. How do we know that there's a different Isra Hanor?
It's one of the exceptions of the
And what does it say? What is the exception? Because it says in the pasuk, Va'orfu Sham. Sham tehei kvur ase, sham tehei, you leave it there, and you learn sham sham from Miriam. And the Gemara also says, because you have ho arufa with a capital A, to tell you, this is the one that's awesome. So, here too, a person could pass by the bones of the egla rufa and use them and not realize that these are osibana. So, apparently the Gemara is more concerned about the bones of the Sur Lazazel than that of the Egla Rufa, because after all, Sur Lazazel was an ongoing thing every single year. Much Enkin the Sur Lazazel, you might never have had the Sur Lazazel. I'm sorry, the Egla Rufa, thank you. The Sur Lazazel was something you have every single year, but the Egla Rufa was very, very rare. Why was it very rare? Because you had to go and had to be someone that was murdered, we don't know, Mihiko, it had to be far, far away in one of those Arab, and they had to do a Akanta ceremony and figure out the closest town and the Egla Rufa. So this is
don't
not
you also bury the Egla Rufa, Shom to cover? I mean, if you bury it.
It doesn't mean to cover that you go and bury it. It means that Shom, that's Shom te kvurasa. Wherever it is, that's it. You don't move it, you don't touch it, because
you don't cover it.
You don't cover it.
And not only that, the Gemara says when the Shirabu Aroschem, they stopped the Egla Rufa.
Mm hmm. That's
so, that's, so it wasn't frequent, and if it came frequent, then you didn't do it.
Very good. Brother Shai, you're cooking with gas this morning. So now, Lemaisa, that there was no concern, and if it did happen, what's the likelihood it happened in the same shtetl twice? It happened once in near Kuchkin Holosh, and near one next to Ketchkemeti, and one next to Djundjish, all of which are Hungarian towns, but if this were to occur in Eretz Yisrael, in these isolated towns, then you had to do this, but it wasn't, you know, a frequent flyer type of thing, and even if it happened, Chas V'Shalom frequently, it was in different locations, so but not the tekola issue was not a major tekola, but here it's a major problem. But now we have another issue, and this is an issue, since we had back on Daf Nun Tes, this rule that Kol Dovish Nasim Mitzvosoi Ein Me'alin Boy, and the Gemara said, yep, but aren't there exceptions to the rule? And we brought the Truma Sadeshin, and we brought the case of the Egla Rufa, according to Mandioma that says that it's Osir, why didn't we also go and list the Sarim Mishtaleach? But there too, according to Mandioma that holds it's Osir, that's another exception to the rule. The Gemara was looking over there, Shnei Ksuvim, can we find a third Kosev? As you recall from Daf Samach, so in fact, if you look back on Daf Samach Amud Aleph in the Tap Toisvis, Itaka brings our Gemara. He doesn't bring our Gemara directly because he refers to Gemara Meila, but it's our Gemara. Shin Havli Truma Sedeshin Big Dikuna Umi Meila Perik Blat Chatzas Kom Mishum David Truma Sedeshin Ve'ivori Sor Hamishtaleach. Oh, according to Mandi Yoma, that holds that it's awesome. Uparach, and the Gemara Taka asks, Honich Laman Yomer Ein Nehenin Laman Yom Nehenin Ma'yikla Meimar. So since our Gemara here in Daf Samach realized that in Daf Samach Zayin that there's going to be a machlokes, that's why we didn't get into the Sur Mishtaleach, but in fact there is a machlokes in Bari Sur Mishtaleach, where that's also another case of something that even though Nasa Mitzvasei, nevertheless, my alibi, there's still an Isra Hanoah that attaches. So that's a machlokes in our Gemara, and that's what Tosis points out on Daf Samach from the Gemara in the Sechtes Me'ilah. Getting back to our Gemara now, Tanu Rabbanan. We spoke about the fact that you send the Soir La'azazel. Now, there are many people that are under the impression that the Soir itself is called the Azazel. Azazel really is the final resting place, so to speak, for the Soir. The Soir is called the Soir HaMishtaleach, but it goes to Azazel. Now, what does the word Azazel mean? So, anyone has a number of interpretations. Tana Rabban, Azazel Shehei, Az V'Kosha. What does that mean? It means that the cliff should be hard and strong, or strong and hard. Not any type of loose type of thing, but we're talking about a real high, tall cliff, which is a sharp edge, and nobody survives going over that as a kosher. Yachol b'yishuv, I would think that perhaps this is within the yishuv where people live. Tamalayim ha'midbar, like we had, you take it out to the midbar, far away into the wilderness. U'menayin shemetzuk, how do you know taka the cliff? Tamalayim ha'gzeira, eretz gzeira, like we said before, it's got to be sharp cut. Tanya idach azozo kosher shebaharim. Azozo means that it has to be take one of the hardest and strongest and harshest of all of the mountains. Like it said in the pasuk, it's eli aretz lokach. That the word eil from the word azazel. Before we had azazel, we split it up into two words, az v'kosher. The word eil, when we normally think of eil, we think of keil, we think of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, Hashem, keil v'rachem v'chan. But the word eil, when it appears in Torah, also can come from the word eili ha'aretz, which means the strong ones of the land. Here too it means a strong, a very rugged, a very harsh mountain. So the azazel before meant az v'eil, both hard and strong, or strong and hard, etc. And here the Gemara doesn't leaves out the az part of the azazel, just to the el part of the azazel. Continuing the Vartan of Rabbi Shmuel, azazel shemachaper al maisa uza v'azoil. It comes to me machaper even on the terrible aveira of uz v'azoil. Who are uz v'azoil? You remember Rashi in Chumash brings it towards in Breishis. What is it talking about? We're not Breishis, Pashas Noyach. It's talking about over there. In the time of the Torah, Enosh, I believe, Torah, not the Torah Mabel, but the Torah of the Migdol Bavel. What happened to that door? It says that even the Malachi Chabola are the bad angels. They came down and they lived with some of the women down below. And the Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Vayiru b'nei olakim espenoisa adam ki toyves heina." So B'nai Olakim, what means B'nai Olakim? That means some of these malachim came down from the heavens down below, and they were mizana with B'nai Sa'adab. So that's a mice of Gili Arayas. So therefore the word Azazel reminds us of the mice of Uz of Azazel. Those were the names of these malachi Chabalah. So if it can be mechaper on that Gili Arayas, it can be mechaper on all others. Tanaban. Now we bring an unrelated posik in Parshas Achri Mois. This is no longer part of the Achrei Mois at the beginning, which we're familiar with the Avodas Yom Kippurim, but rather this is further on, and this is in fact shortly before the enumeration of the Aroyas at the end of Parshas Achrei Mois. So what does it say in the pasuk? Tanur Banan. Es Mishpotai Ta'asu, if you want to see the whole pasuk in context, Es Mishpotai Ta'asu, that's number 5, Es Chukoisei Tishvur Lelechas Behem, and Yesh Olekechem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, do by Mishpotim and keep my Chukim. What's the difference between a mishpat and a chayk? Says the Gemara, "Es mishpati tasu dvarim shel molei nechtevu, loy nechtevu, din hu shi yechtevu." These are rules and regulations that even if a Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give it for mankind to survive, we have to put together these rules on a humanistic, ethical, moral level. You have to adopt these rules and regulations anyway, even if they had not been given by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Elohim, just to give you an idea, Avodas Chachovim, you can't just go and worship pagan idols. V'gilei Arayos, Chas V'Shalom, people take other people's wives. U'Shvichas Dam, Chas V'Shalom, murder. V'Gezel, stealing. U'Brichas Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, going and being Mavorech, which means Chas V'Shalom to curse. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rachman Aslan. So all of these are logical, even without the Kodesh Baruch Hu ordaining and legislating. These are Mishpat. Those are the things that the Satan, Rashi says Satan here means also the Eitz Hara, he tells you, come on, why do these things don't make any sense? What's chazi different than a piece of wise pork, any different than roast beef? If I wear wool separately and I wear linen separately, no problem. But if I mix them together, the whole is an explosion. Well, what's so terrible? What happened? The chalitzas yivama, the whole ceremony with the yivama, they take off the shoe, etc., etc. V'taras mitzoyra, did you take the two tziporim, as we spoke about briefly before? The whole sorim mishtaleach, v'shem atoyim ma'asa toyuhem. None of these things make sense. It's not for me. I don't believe in it. Tamaloy mani Hashem, ani Hashem chakaktiv, v'in l'charishus lahar behen. You have no right even to think about all these things. These are the mitzvahs Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. Since Hashem is our Father, we have total emunah mitochen that what Hashem says and does, that this is all emes lamita, and all of this is wonderful.
It's interesting, it says, Lashes mishpatei tasu, and they're all negatives, they're all losases. Usually a tasu is an ase. I mean, it's a counterintuitive drush. And also, these are five of the seven Mrs. Ben Noach, right? Okay. Except for Eber Menachai and Mishpat and Dinim.
Mm-hmm.
These are the five are the top five.
Beautiful. Shkoyach, five out of the seven. Very nice. So that's the end. Now you realize why we brought that pasuk here, because it talks about Tzara Mishtaleach, which is our Gemara, and we also just finish off the Tzara Mishtaleach. It's a Gzeira, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, that's the rule. Right, Amos saying the time we got, we had in our Mishnah, it already says in the pasuk that the Ish Iti becomes Tameh, and he has to go and go to the mikveh, and he has to go Metar his Megodim. Question is, at what point? So we already had in our Mishnah two views. We're going to have now a three-way machloikis in the Brisa. Tanurban, ha-mishaleach matan begodim. Ve'in ha-shaleach es ha-mishaleach matan begodim. The person who is the mishaleach, he himself, he matan begodim. The shaleach and mishaleach. Who are those? Says Rashi, those are the Yakir Yushalayim, the Malavan Oysan. Those people that escorted, they do not, even though they're walking together with Isar just like Ishiti. Ishiti has to take, but they don't have to go and take. Mishaleach, mishaleach matan begodim. Yochum, she'eitz chutz l'chayim es azar. I would think as soon as he leaves the Azara, because that's when he takes the initial, he receives from the Kohen Gadol the Sar Mishtaleach, so maybe as soon as he gets out of the Azara, he's already now Tamei, Tameloi Ma'am Shaleach. He's got to go on his Shlichus, which means he's got to go some distance. Okay, see, Mishtaleach, Yochalat Shegil Tzuk, maybe until he gets all the way to the end, until he gets to the Tzuk. Tameloi Ma'am Shaleach. No, Mishtaleach when you begin your Shlichus. Okay, so. That was the first view in our Mishnah. Not when he leaves the Chaymes Hazar, but he leaves the Chaymes Yerushalayim. Then he's now on his mission. His mission began already before, but now he's really into it. Chaymes Yerushalayim, that's when he becomes Tam. As soon as he gets to the Tzuk, he is Mechuyev in going to the Mikveh. Not that he goes to the Mikveh immediately, but that's when the Chiyev is triggered when he gets to the cliff. No. When is Zorkin Basroish, and that is Matan Begodim. Zorkin Basroish is Rashi means that when Itaka pushes off the Sor Hamishtalech over the cliff, at that point, then he becomes Tameh. So there are three points here. Chaim Yishalayim, when he gets to the Tzuk, or when he's finished, pushing it off. If you're going to say that the last two, Rabbi Yosef Shimon, are simultaneous, they're not simultaneous, because after he gets to the Tzuk, he has to go and remove half of the ribbon, so to speak, and tie it to the boulder, and then give the push up. Maybe it takes a minute or two, or 5 minutes, whatever. So, three different time periods. On to the next question. Yes?
Just before we conclude, the most famous one, Emel Shusla Harban, is this week's Sedra, Paraduma. And it's not listed.
You know why? Because we have the benefit of Zoyis Chukas HaTayra. We have the benefit of the Rashi that says, why is it called a Choyk? For the very reason you just gave now, that because Satan Vumas Oilam Winis Yisrael Leymar Ma Mitzvah Zoyz Ma Tam Yeshba Tez Rashi, if I tell you it's a Choyk, the Gzeir of Ufana Ve'en L'chol Shus La'arech Achreel. It says the Fadish about that it's a Choyk. But if you look in the Torah, by the Sur Mishtaleach, it doesn't say that that's a Choyk. But Tash V'Toy doesn't say it's a Choyk. It doesn't say Elisha Shatnes. So therefore the Chukim that's referred to in Parashas Mishpatim as Chukoy Sa'at Yishmeru, those Chukim are referring to the others which are not identified and enumerated exclusively and solely on their own. Parshas Chukas is Paraduma. These include a laundry list of the others. Zok the Mishnah Bite. Now that the Sar Mishnaleach has left the Azara, it's handed over to the Ishiti. So now the Kohen Gadol, what is he doing at the same time? He now goes to the Par Vesoyer. They're not burned yet naturally. They've only been geshachten, and the Kohen Gadol has finished with all of his Nesinei Sadam Lefnai Lefnim in front of the Paroiches on the Mizbeach, Shiraim on the outside Mizbeach. After that is when he hands over the Sar Mishtaleach to the Ishiti. But now the Kohen Gadol returns to the Par Vesoyer, which will be eventually burned. They are now still totally intact, except for the fact that they've lost their blood. What happens this time? Kura'an, the Kohen Gadol would now tear them open, not from top to bottom, but tear open that part in the belly region, to go and take out the aimer and to go and put it on the Mizbeach. Because although we go and burn the Parvasar outside Yerushalayim, we don't burn the aimer, and the aimer go onto the Mizbeach like any other normal cart. What did he do with the aimer? Nostam and Megas, he put him to a kli, which is called a Megas. He was marked to them. Now the Lashon HaMishnah sounds like he's marked to them on the spot. But we'll see Mitchum in the Gemara shortly that in fact they were only brought on the Mizbech somewhat later in the all of the Avoidois, and really the Gemara changes the gears and not Vichtiran, not Lihaktiran. He put them in the Megis to eventually become the subject of the Haktor al Gan Mizbech. We'll see that Mirchem in another moment. Then Klon de Maklois. Now, after he has removed the Aymarin, now the Parvisor are ready to be carted out from the Azara and be taken to the Shefa Chadeshim. So, Kolom B'Makloes, the word Klia has that sense of braiding, and you're supposed to braid the two together, the Parvisor, almost like that they should hug one another, if you will. And Rashi explained that they took two moites, two long poles, and after they attached the Parvisor together in this embrace, in this braiding, they put them on the moites, and then the Kahanim, Rashi doesn't say Kahanim, he says four Bnei Adam, would go and take the two poles with the two behemoths on them, and they would take them out of the Beis Hamikdash and outside of Yishlai. It's called Makloiz, Vaitzi on the Beis HaSreifa, they took the Beis HaSreifa. Ume Emes and Etam, they got them. At what point do those people that are carrying the animals, because there once again it says in the Torah that those that are moitzi, the animals, they have to go and also go toivel, and they go to the and the begotten will to become tamei. So when the ema simtam begotten, she also chutz lechaymes azara. Oh, it's different than the ishiti. Ishiti we said not by the chaymes azara. It's only after he leaves according to the first man, the yom chaymes yushalayim. However, by the people that are taking out the parvah, so as soon as they get outside the azara, boom, they already become tamei at that moment.
The business reef is right outside in the.
Talk about when it is, Mirchem, tomorrow. Thank you. The location, okay. But it was chutz l'sholish machnes outside.
Okay,
it's
only out. Okay,
Mirchem, we're gonna see that's gonna be tomorrow. Chutz l'chemis azar mishot chutz l'chemis azar. Reb Shimon oim mishiyot zavur beruvan. Reb Shimon said, aha, they don't become tamei for a long time until they finally got to the makom asreifa, the shefa chadashen, and even after they put them down, that wasn't enough. After they lit the fire. And after the fire was beginning to consume them, not even beginning, but most of it was already being engulfed in flames, at that time they became tummy. So you're going to wonder again, was the nafkimin, by the line, they become tummy at the end? Nafkimin would be what happens if you had several, a number of people doing the carting out. After all, carrying the parvisar is quite a laborious type of mission. So what happens if they had a changing of the guard? That initially we had four people, and they said, I just can't do it anymore, and other people would take over. So if you're telling me when they leave the Chaymes Azar, those guys have to toil. If you hold only the Yatzis or Beruvan people, so if they didn't participate at the very end, the Yatzis or Beruvan, they would not be time.
Why not? Why don't we say both? Why would we say we...
Why do we have Machlekes? I mean, you'll see the Imar, okay. What the basis of the Machlekes is. Zog Dimar, it says that he took put in the Megis V'Hiktiran. V'Hiktiran Zalchadaitach already now is Makter it. So Rashi makes a cheshbon that it's only going to be mukter in the fifth avoider. Remember, the Kohen Gadol had to do five avoiders altogether. We're still in the middle of avoider number two, where the Kohen Gadol is still wearing his big day lavan. He's standing bachut in the azara, but he's wearing his big day lavan. He still has to go and take those off and put on the begadim to do the big day zov, to do the oilas of oilas am, and then he's going to have to switch back into the big day lavan to take out the kavu machta, and then he's going to do the fifth avoider, which is going to include the conclusion of the musafin, as well as the tomit shel bein aboyim, as well as the haktorah of the zeimurim al gabi hamizbech. So this is going to be another hour or two later on in the process. So it's not the hiktira, no, but he put it into the megis lihaktira, subsequently al gabi hamizbech. Call him in makloiz. He braided them together. Amr Yoichan, they came in clear, like a braid of hair. You braid the two animals together. Tana lehayim anatchan nituach psar oila ela oir al gabe basar. What the Gemara is telling us is when the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Gadol, when the people that are burning the par v'soyer on this makom hadeshen, on the shefa hadeshen michutz l'machne, when they did it, they had to go and cut the animals first into pieces. Although when they carted it out, the two animals were totally sholem, with the exception of the aymurin that had been removed from the belly area. But all the rest of the animal was sholem. Okay, the head had been, of course, severed, but nevertheless, the rest of the body was all intact, one piece. But when it came to the time of the sreifa, then they did cut it, in fact, into pieces. Which is similar to the oila, because by the oila it says, but here there was one major difference, and the difference is that although by a regular oily had hefshit v'nituach, Here, by this carbon, you only had nituach and no heshet, which means that you cut the animal into pieces with the skin still attached to the back of the animal. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. The oil was still attached to the bus. How do I know? The sign is in the price. Rabbi Oimer, Nemerkan, Oir, Ubasar, Uperish. What is that? That's number 7 in your long list here. Take them out. The Sarfu Baish is Oiroisan, the oil. The Sarum, the Aspirsha. Pirsha means the Tsoya, the excrement inside. So all of these three were burned outside. Again, only the Emerin were burned on the Mizbech. It says, Oir, Basar, Uperish. And it says by that other Pasik. Now what? That other, that's talking about the par koyin hamashiach. There too we use the expression or ubasu perish, like you see in another next pasuk, al roishay, val krov, vekirba, yufirshay. That par koyin hamashiach was also burned or barbas. Okay. Malalon ayidei nituach, veloy ayidei hefshit. There was only nituach and not hefshit by the par koyin hamashiach. Afkan, the same thing over here by the par in the sor of Yom Kippur, ayidei nituach, veloy ayidei hefshit. Frank Timara, but how do I know by the par of the Kohen Mashiach that it was Nituach Vulei the Hefshif also mean Allah? The sign it says in the Braisa. The Kirboi Ufirshoi Vohoitzi. Malamit Shemoitzioi Sholem. Again, we're talking now about the par Kohen Mashiach. It was taken out Kirboi Ufirshoi. That's what we read from the previous Pasik. This other part is called Sarai. Kirboi Ufirshoi. And the next Pasik right after it says, Vohoitzi Eskola Poilam Yechutamachna. The ganze par. What's my the ganze par? Of course, it's taking out the ganze par. So I see a shawling that was complete, it was intact. Yochi is a kind of shawling, I would think you should go and burn it intact. Nemerkan roishi ukrov. Again, that's the pasuk here by the parakon of Mashiach. V'nemel atlon, and it says by the case of a regular korban oila. What does it say over there? It doesn't say really roishi ukraim, it says a roish, and then there's another pasuk. These are two separate psukim. One pasuk is aleph ches, the other pasuk is aleph yud gimel. Here it says roish, and there it says kraim. So you put the two psukim together. Just like we know by carbon oila, the hitchin is oila benitach oisul and socher. It's nituach. Askan al yidei nituach. We make a zayir shabbat to parakun mashiach. Also al yidei nituach. Imal alon al yidei hefshit. There you said the hitchin is oila. Is afkan al yidei hefshit. Tamaloyma vekir bayufirsha. Here it says vekir bayufirshai. Frank Dimara, my Talmud. So what does it say anything about hefshit? It says kir bayufirshai, the innards together with the perish. What does it have to do with the oyer? Amra papa kishem shapirshai vekir bay kach besorei be oyer. The lashon of pirshai vekir bay means that just like the soya, the excrement is bekir bay inside the animal itself, because you would never take it out and burn that separately. It would have a terrible sirchon. It would be a bizoyin. So you leave it inside intact. I'm sorry, leave the boss intact inside the ark. So although you go and cut it into pieces, you do not strip it of its outside ark, but you leave the ark intact on the outside of the animal. Have a wonderful day, everybody. I mentioned, and continue tomorrow's Zayt Kibbutz Zayt Kizim.